going to spend the rest of the hour talking about the Broadway songwriting duo Lerner and Lowe. And you might think you don't know them, but you probably do.
If ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be in summer. Seeing you in summer, I never would go. Wouldn't it be lovely?
I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night.
Get me to the church on time.
I thought as I thanked all the stars in the sky.
Songs there from the Lerner and Lowe musicals Camelot, My Fair Lady, and Brigadoon. Musician, composer, and author Rob Capello, re-upping his work this week with Celebrity Series of Boston in What Makes It Great. This weekend, highlighting the work of Lerner and Lowe. We caught up with Rob earlier this week, and he told us how the pair exemplify how great songwriting can happen when opposites attract. Alan J. Lerner lived a life of privilege, born in New York to a wealthy family. He attended Harvard. He wrote for Hasty Pudding Musical Productions. Frederick Lowe was a former child prodigy, a concert pianist, raised in and around the Viennese operetta scene. He emigrated to New York City in the 1920s and worked in a myriad of jobs before finding his footing, but always held on to his strong European roots. We dove into what makes Lerner and Lowe great with Rob Capello using Heather on the Hill from their 1947 musical Brigadoon, which is a story of two New Yorkers who stumble into a mystical town in Scotland that only appears once every 100 years. We started by listening to a bit of Patrick Wilson's 2017 recording, and then Rob Capello unpacked it for us in a way really only he can.
Can't we two go walking together out beyond the valley of trees, out where there's a hillside of heather curtsying gently in the breeze? That's what I'd like to do, see the heather, but with
So, Rob, I know I like it already. It wasn't actually one of the songs from Brigadoon that it sort of stuck with me, but I know you're going to make us love it. So start breaking it down. What makes it great? And what about this opposites attract of Lerner and Lowe feeds into that?
You know, first of all, just one thing about Brigadoon, which I can't resist talking about. You know, the whole idea of creating Brigadoon was to protect this village from being changed by the outside world. You know, a local minister prayed to God and decided to keep Brigadoon safe, that life of that village safe, by having it disappear and only come back once every 100 years. And that, to me, is part of why I chose this song and this particular show at this particular moment. I mean, who of us wouldn't want to actually have us disappear and come back post-pandemic? You know, this idea to somehow retreat, because remember, this was written in 1947. So most of it was actually written in 1946, right after World War II. And the desire to escape to some kind of safer bubble, whether it be called, you know, Brigadoon or whatever, to escape from the horrors of the outside world is something that I felt so much right at this moment in time. The desire to escape into this world of Brigadoon, this world of absolutely beautiful melodies from the golden age of the songbook, seems so appropriate and comforting for this moment in time. And Heather on the Hill is a perfect example. But one of the things that's the perfect example of is the kind of subtle craft that Lowe, as an immigrant, not an American, brought to the American musical. So it starts off with this exquisitely subtle music. Can't we two go walking together out beyond the valley of trees? Now, first of all, notice that the opening chords are not traditional, firmly rooted chords, not this. Listen closely to my left hand. That's what musicians call root position chords, but instead they're lighter, floating, delicate chords.
Yeah, the first one is kind of plodding, and the second one feels like a butterfly.
Grounded. We're in the real world here. We're in the world of COVID tests. But now you simply change the bass, and you're floating, and you're in that world of Brigadoon, first inversion. And then there's this poignant leap up here to this beautiful four-note chord. All the first chords have had three notes in them. Then we leap up to this beautiful four-note chord, and then a fantastic, but subtly fantastic, last chord with the song's first accidental, the first note outside the key. In the key, it would sound like this, walking together. But instead of this, he changes one note to this. So beautiful, not this, but this. Then he copies Can't We Two Go, but does it lower as Out Beyond The, but with these lovely warm chords, particularly on the second high note. Listen, Out Beyond, listen to this chord. If you don't love that chord, you'll never love Lerner and Lowe, and I don't want to know you.
Why does it feel so different, Rob? I mean, I feel like you're soothing me as we're talking.
It is, and that's why I picked this music. We need soothing. So this Out Beyond The, and then watch this cadence. This is a kind of old-fashioned cadence, the kind they must have used 200 years ago in Brigadoon. Old kind of cadence. Listen to this music here. This is such a soothing cadence. This is the kind of cadence classical music used 150 years ago. So even in that first phrase, we have all those beautiful details. Floating chords. A delicate high note with four-note chord underneath. This extra note outside the key. Copy lower. Warm chords. An exquisite leap. An old-fashioned cadence. And this is only the beginning. Now watch this. A classic example of how one note can make all the difference. The melody of that first phrase, which you now know by heart.
I do.
He now changes only one note. Instead of, he leaps one note higher, which changes the rest of the melody. So this now becomes one note higher, and it makes all the difference. And that changes the whole rest of the phrase. One more accidental, not this, but this. And now the second half of the phrase is higher, subtly more intense, subtly more emotion, and this lovely Lerner image. So you have to imagine this hillside of heather, and there's wind, wind, wind. But how he describes it is as curtsying gently. What a lovely image, curtsying gently. And then again, our same old-fashioned cadence. Now, notice, there's absolutely nothing in the lyrics of this music, this nature picture, that remotely is talking about Tommy's growing feelings for Fiona. It's all about the hillside and can't we go walking together in valleys of trees. Nothing about Tommy's feelings whatsoever.
The two characters who are singing in this song.
Yeah, but every note of music shows us exactly what he feels. This is what he feels, even though the words don't say so. And haven't we all wished that sometime in our life we had music underneath what we were saying that could tell the other person what we were really feeling? I mean, that's what this music is all about. Now watch the ending of this introduction. This is classic Lowe and so subtle. He actually plays with only three notes. I mean, by itself, this doesn't sound so spectacular. But the way he plays with this three notes perfectly captures the simple playfulness of their relationship in music, though it's nowhere there in the lyrics. He does the idea once, and listen closely to the chord under the third note. It's open-ended. It's a kind of a question. First, he goes, that's what I... And you can hear it's still kind of a question. Then he repeats the exact same three notes in the melody, but now it's a more affirmative, conclusive ending. Yeah, that's what I'd like to do. So the first one is this. That's what I, same three melody notes, but different chords. Like to do. Now watch this. He then starts as if he's going to do it a third time. But instead of pausing on the third note, he adds one extra note. So this now becomes extra. And then the charmingly witty ending, he takes our same three notes, which you've heard three times, But now he adds a rest between each note to make this perfect, playful ending, and we understand the relationship. So now this becomes this.
So I had like 10 questions while you were going through that, but I, honest to God, I felt like, shh, you can't interrupt the people in love.
And that's exactly what you should feel.
Yeah, you can't interrupt the people in love. So here's what I long to understand about what you just told us, Rob. Uh-huh. These are just, they're different musical notes. How do the writers know, the composers know, that those notes are going to make me feel this way?
Well, first of all, no one ever knows, because if we would know it would make a hit. And they would certainly not have written Paint Your Wagon if they knew better.
Ouch.
But what you do is, I think in the end, almost everyone writes for themselves. In other words, you write the chords that do it for you. Like, I have never met Low, or if, you know, but I know that this, I already know what kind of a person he is. These are the kind of chords that do it for him. These are the kinds of chords that make him sigh. Just hearing those two chords and the chord we talked about earlier, that's who he is. And in the end, what you do is you write the music that makes yourself weep.
Why do
you hope in the end that what makes you weep makes an audience weep? But all you can do in the end is ultimately write for yourself.
So how do you think that life of Lowe's that you told us about, this journeying life, led to this being what he knew would make him weep and for you and me?
I think what it is he had that unique combination of an incredibly classical background, and not only a classical background, but the world of the operetta. You know, it's interesting. One of the big differences between operetta and American musical theater, which you can find out if you read my last book, Listening for America, which I'm sure you're going to all rush out and buy. But I talk about a lot of that, is that the world of operetta was always set up in these far off places. You know, it was princely kingdoms. It was actually places like Brigadoon, these far off places. And it had a whole kind of way of expression that I think he brought with him to the American musical. I mean, the American musical was trying to make American subjects. It was about here and now. It was, I got rhythm, I got music. I mean, had hard driving American swing. The whole idea was to make a language of our own that was American. But I think he brought with him this incredibly cultivated, subtle European musical language that came from the classical world. And then he came to America and melded it with what was going on in Broadway. So in a way, it was an outsider's view of America that I think produced this unique synthesis. I mean, biggest cliche, of course, of America is the melting pot. But in the case of music, I think the melting pot actually did produce something unique, because this music is his uniquely personal version of American swing.
So, you know, as we were preparing for today, I was listening to a ton of music from Lerner and Lowe. But when we decided to settle on Brigadoon and Heather on the Hill, it made me think of a show that I binge watched recently on Apple TV called Schmigadoon, which is produced by, you know, some Saturday Night Live folks. It's got some famous comedians in it. It's got some famous Broadway folks in it. But it really takes this innocent remote setting and brings it to today. It's a multiracial cast. There's some cynicism and some purity. And I wonder if the magic of Lerner and Lowe with Brigadoon is sort of, as you say, we all want that escape. We all want to go to Brigadoon again today, but we got to do it Schmigadoon style because of who and where we are now.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I watched a little bit of the trailer for that show, and you can see that there is a tremendous love for the music of the 40s and 50s, and also there's a tremendous longing. You know, this longing for a great golden past is so American, and in a weird way, it was there in the 40s as well. I mean, if you think of Oklahoma and Carousel, the very musicals that in a way inspired Schmigadoon, you know, Oklahoma and Carousel, in the middle of the war, they're inventing this mythic American past that never really existed. I mean, the world of Oklahoma certainly was not the world of Oklahoma that ever existed. You think of Aaron Copland at the same time, inventing Appalachian Spring, this desire to step outside of the current world. The more troubled the world, the more the desire to step outside it and retreat to some imagined golden past is as American as apple pie. And I think, you know, when I watched that trailer for Schmigadoon, you can see that there's this desperate love for this old music and a wanting to retreat to a time where really boy could meet girl, boy could lose girl, boy could get girl all over again. And all the things that made those 40s and 50s musicals so great. I mean, I watched, there's a song that's previewed. You see the same tap numbers that you would have seen in a 40s musical. You see it starting with one solo singer. Then the whole chorus comes in. You can see that there's a desperate desire to go back to it, but you can't go back to it without that stepping outside and quotation marks of Saturday Night Live. So we just can't go back again and really recreate it. We have to do it, but within this vehicle in quotation marks.
Yeah, let's listen to a little bit. You talked about that song you liked, With All of Your Heart. It's performed by Ariana DeBose and the kids of Schmigadoon. Here's a little bit.
So here's a slice of good advice that I'm obliged to impart. You must always try your best. The life puts you to the test. You must always try your best. With all of your heart. Heart.
So, you know, when I watched it, I didn't think hard about why I was loving it so much. In fact, I was probably a little embarrassed that I was loving it so much.
No, it's allowing you to have your cake and eat it too. I mean, all those moments, the stop time, tap, pause, brass interjections. I mean, that's the music that we love. I mean, it's a world that we can't really allow ourselves to go back to unless we put it in quotes like this. But that is why we love this music. And that's really what's behind the Lerner and Lowe show as well. This is America. This was our voice. You know, in my book, Listening for America, I talk about it. I mean, this was America inventing its own voice. It didn't have a voice. You know, the world of operetta, it was actually the world of Lowe that dominated Broadway in the early years, in the 10s and the 20s, and even through the 30s. But in the 30s and 40s, America, not only, of course, in Broadway musicals, but in painting and literature as well, was trying to find a voice that was its own. And what you just heard there in that ending, that's America. That stop time, that tap, the big finish, the held note. And if you can actually see it on the video, you can see they're even doing the kinds of things with the kids staging wise that come right out of 40s and 50s musicals.
Standing
that
on their desks and tap dancing.
You know, and it's an attempt to recreate that moment when America had utter confidence, optimism. There weren't any questions. There weren't any shadows. It was a moment where America was inventing its voice and fully embracing it. And now we go back to it, but now there has to be some quotation marks around.
That was musician, composer, and author Rob Capello. He'll be performing in Boston this Friday for a celebrity series of Boston digital concert called What Makes It Great with Rob Capello, The Music of Lerner and Lowe. The show will stream live this Friday at 8 p.m. and will be available on demand until Thursday, January 27th at 7 p.m. And you can find out more information on our website, radioboston.org. So we'll go out today with another performance of Heather on the Hill. This one performed by Sierra Bagues and Julian Ovenden from their 2021 album Together at a Distance, which features classic and contemporary Broadway duets and was recorded remotely during the pandemic. This is Radio Boston. Tune in again tomorrow for more.